Caught Offside with Andrew Gunling and JJ Devaney.
Right in the middle of the goal, the mid of the 6-yard box. It is swung in. The header! Divock Origi! Liverpool have life!
Crazy.
Has a goal! Oh, what a moment! Vincent Kompany from 30 yards into the top corner! It could be a goal that wins the Premier League title!
Caught Offside from the Upper West Side of Manhattan, Andrew Gunling and JJ Devaney. What's up, brother?
City's up. They're up 1-0 and it remained that way. And yeah. Now we're all a little down.
Well,
speak for yourself.
I have no dog in this fight necessarily. I would only say this, that
You'd prefer City to repeat than Liverpool.
That's probably true.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But I care about you and your feelings, and I want you to experience nothing but happiness and joy.
That's not true.
Success, yeah. I can only speak as a neutral and say that I think what we witnessed over this entire weekend, from the title race with Liverpool on Saturday to Manchester City on Monday to the insanity of the top four race, the relegation battle kind of petered out, I think. But look, this is why we love it. This is why we're fans. This is why we watch. This has been riveting in every kind of way imaginable, like highs and lows in the spans of, you know, days, minutes. This has been a really, really fun season. And we are very excited to talk all about it with you over the course of this podcast coming up right now.
I think we're going to make some clarifications on what's been good, though, and probably some clarifications on what this title race has been later on in the pod.
Exciting can take many different forms.
I think, yeah. We need to break it down a little bit because there's some people, and, you know, some of them have not been fans long enough to remember some of the races that you or I would. And this is different. And so there's a lot of terms being thrown about, like bottling, that just don't apply.
With regards to the title race?
Yeah, someone tried
to... Who used that? Neither team has lost in months.
It's
one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard.
Yeah, I got a tweet.
They don't know what the word means.
I got a tweet from someone who was... he was factually inaccurate all over the place. He was talking about, guess who the only team who was top at Christmas ever... and not go on to win the championship was. And I was like, there has been more than one. No, but what I meant was... Just stop talking now. It was an attempted troll job that failed.
Well, it should be a really fun show that we've got for you because we're going to go in-depth, obviously, on the title race. We'll go in-depth on the top four, which has seemingly been settled, although old Gil is still not certain. we have a mailbag. Have a little bit of a boy wonder watch, which I'm excited about. It's been a while since we've been able to have a kind of a joyful, semi-joyful boy wonder watch. And a big what to watch for, Champions League semifinals. This is the end. My only friend, the end, a poet once said.
Well, it was Jim Morrison.
Yeah, some people consider him a poet.
Do you?
Actually, no, not really.
Probably my favorite song by The Doors.
It's a classic.
Apocalypse.
It's a timeless classic.
Apocalypse Now, Andrew, which some people think this title race has been, but it hasn't.
Let's talk about that title race, JJ. My God. Oh, the drama. The drama of all of this. Now, let's get right to the heart of what you were hinting at just a minute ago.
Okay.
Let's just be clear on one thing here. This title race has been, I would say, exhilarating. I've been in awe of what I've seen from these two clubs who have really battled it out now for an entire season. Like, there was no late charge from anyone. Like, this has been the two best in the league from pretty much the jump this year.
Okay.
But the one thing that people need to stop saying, there have been no twists and turns in this race, all right?
Well, we need to get the Premier League Twitter account. Oh, the twists and turns. There hasn't been a twist since the end of February.
Yeah.
Like, guys, you've got to, if you want to say it to me, I'll tell you, watching that Liverpool late win over Southampton and watching that late Liverpool win over Newcastle was exhilarating and thrilling and it did stuff to me and I really enjoyed that season. That is fine. Mm-hmm. But that's not even 2011, 2012. That's not Man City going to Arsenal and losing at the Emirates. That's not United losing on goal difference on the last day. I mean, maybe this, that something.
We don't know what's going to happen.
But we
next
don't.
Week.
But everything has gone to form since that game. Liverpool fans, since they drew at Everton, have been looking upwards at City. The bottom line is that their City happened to have a game later than them by quirk of the fixtures list.
Right.
Now, it's not that we've been leapfrogging each other. We've played a game more.
Right.
And when City win their game, as they have done consistently, they've gone ahead.
Like, in a season where City have now won 13 in a row to get to this point, and where Liverpool have lost one game, there are no twists and turns.
No.
This is like a marathon where you've had two guys racing who have been out in front for like 24 of the 26 miles. There are no twists and turns there. These guys were dominant, and that in itself, there don't need to be twists and turns. At the start of the marathon, you didn't need someone to trip and fall and knock over every single race. Like, that's fun and exciting too, but this has been just... I'm in total awe of how great these two teams have been.
But it's the consistency of it. That's what you're in awe of. You're not in awe of the fact that, we say in 98, 99 for the treble, Arsenal were in control of the championship and they went to Elland Road and they lost. And that flipped it and United go on. And that was drama. That was late, twist. Mm-hmm. There's been none of that this season.
Now, the only thing you could say is that within the span of an individual 90-minute match, there have been twists.
Not for City. Not
no,
really.
No, most of them
have
jumped
been
to mind for Liverpool.
Yeah.
The Origi goal against Everton, the Origi goal this past weekend, the Alderweireld own goal against Spurs. So Liverpool have had more of those drama moments.
But even still, that was just to maintain the distance between the two. That was just to maintain the 1 point, because as sure as night followed day, City will go on and win. And Liverpool fans didn't give up when they drew with Everton, but they knew that they had surrendered completely the initiative, and they were looking for slippages. They were looking for trips, for twists, for turns. City have given them nothing. The closest was Burnley away.
And perhaps today, it got to the 70th minute when, like you just heard, Vincent Kompany pulls one out that you just... It's his first goal. It's his 20th goal for Manchester City in all competitions. It's his first ever from outside of the box. He just kind of has a penchant for those moments with them. We know in their first title run, he scored the big header against Manchester United late in the season. He's their leader, their captain. Many people have thought for a couple of years now that his career was pretty much over. We talked about how he was basically like an apprentice for Pep, learning how to become a manager. You almost didn't even really view him as much of a player anymore. And here he is. He scores one of the goals. And this is an all-timer. This is one that you'll see in highlight reels for the rest of your life. It was that memorable.
He's just leathered it. Absolutely leathered it. He's looked up, and Pep admitted in the post-match, oh no, Vinny, don't shoot. Like, nobody wanted him to shoot. Sterling tweeted out how at that precise moment he was like, that is not the Manchester City way. The Manchester City way is to work the angles, keep the ball moving. If anything, the Manchester City way was for Kompany to keep going with that ball, commit Choudhury and slip one in behind.
Right.
Now, what happened was a paralysis. Leicester had been so good at keeping their shape and limiting City's chances that they really, I guess they decided, look, he's the centre half, maybe let him have it. Neither Maddison or Choudhury, who were the closest players, closed him down, and he's just stuck one where Schmeichel can't get to it. Schmeichel had a fine game. Leicester City were excellent today. You've got to look at that Leicester City team and think, Brendan Rodgers has a side on his hands. Now, I think it was Michael Goodman wrote for StatsBomb about how the middle class are coming, referring to Wolves and Leicester and how they are about to make serious inroads into maybe the area occupied by the Arsenals of this world. Mm-hmm. Now, middle class is a faux term for them, as they are moneyed and well-heeled.
But we understand what he means.
And Leicester, to me, in tonight, I enjoyed that performance so much. It almost felt wrong of me. I was so annoyed with them that they didn't score. I was so annoyed with Maddison. I was so annoyed with Iheanacho that I was afraid coming on the podcast that I would be completely coloured in that and not talk about a couple of moments. Can I talk about the first half, Andrew? City are one of the best pressing teams in the game. And Brendan Rodgers comes in with, as Troy Deeney would say, the cojones to play out from the back. So there's one moment midway through the second half. I think it was probably towards the, or the first half, probably towards the end. The ball comes into the back line and they're being pressed and they keep passing it, keep moving it. They play it back to Schmeichel. I'm like, they're getting blocked down. This is going to end up in the back of the net. Schmeichel pings a 40-yarder to Yuri Tielemans, who gets on the ball and they go straight down the other end. Cross comes in, Ederson saves. It was so gutsy. Now, Burnley did guts in a different way. It was more backs to the wall. What we have, we'll hold. We're keeping the nil-nil for minute one. But this was guts and cojones of a different kind.
It was, although as you got into the second half, leading up to the company goal,
they fell away.
It felt like...
You said they got tired, and I would tend to agree with that. It's tough to keep moving the ball against a team that presses probably the best in the league outside of Liverpool.
I mean, sometimes, look, we've all watched enough games to get that collective feeling as to when it's like, okay,
you can sniff,
something is
sniff
coming.
The cordite, yeah.
Yeah, and now I don't know that I could have predicted it was going to go like that. I mean, it's so funny, man. For all, you know, the genius of Pep, the way he wants to play, like, this is what might win them a title. A 30-yard strike from a center back and while Pep is screaming, no, no, don't shoot on the sidelines. This is craziness.
Secretly, he hated that. Not so secretly. Actually, openly, he hated that.
Well, I'm glad he was willing to admit it afterwards.
9 times out of 10, Pep does not want that to happen. This was the one time because it went in the top corner.
The shot, it almost had like a Damian Lillard feel from the shot he hit against Oklahoma City, where it's like, okay, well, if you're not going to come out on me, then I'm just going to do this.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I mean, company, it was almost like he was left with no choice.
And it wasn't a finesse shot at all. It was put your foot through the back of the ball, and it just flew into the right corner. How many times have we seen center backs, defenders, Kyle Walker, just come flying forward and leathering it over the bar?
We saw it all night in this game. Huh? Not, you know, Kyle Walker did do it. Bernardo Silva did it. He, by the way, had a moment too. This mazy run through the Leicester defense. It got tipped away from him, and the shot ultimately was deflected. But boy, Bernardo Silva has moments where you see how gifted a player he is.
He's very, very good.
Sterling had moments where, you know, he put a header way over the bar on what was kind of an uncontested header in the first half. He scuffed the shot wide when he kind of broke into space. So all night long, you're starting to wonder, before the company goal,
is it just going to be one of those nights?
Is the pressure of Liverpool constantly, one morale blow from Liverpool after another, is it going to break City down? This was before Manchester City play. This was Jamie Carragher talking on Sky Sports right after Liverpool had defeated Newcastle, talking about how Liverpool keeps dealing City these morale blows.
It's the fact we've all been in teams where you're watching your opposition. It doesn't matter whether you're going for the league, whether you're going for top four, whether it's relegation, and someone continually gets late goals. It's a killer. We all watch each other. We all pretend that we don't watch him. And Klopp says he's not bothered about the City result. He is. And Pep Guardiola will be devastated watching that tonight. He will. I think he actually admitted that a few weeks ago.
He said he was going to be watching the game tonight, absolutely.
Yeah, well, I think the Tottenham goal win a few weeks ago, I think he's done a swear word in a press conference as well, because how he felt.
Totally agree. I absolutely agree. And, you know, it took something special. When we used to listen to that piece of audio from Brian Clough saying about how he thought the league was the more important thing, because you needed to be clever, smart, but you also needed luck and a bit of craziness. The luck and the craziness was your centre half, who's never scored from outside the box, leathering one when he would have been, hours would have been spent, days, months, certainly in the first season of Pep Guardiola's reign, coaching players to do exactly the opposite, to keep the ball, to move it. And it just happened to fly in. And that was the sickener. And while Liverpool, Origi's goal, quite rightly, Jamie said, it dealt a sickener to Manchester City fans and Pep Guardiola watching it. Company did exactly the same. It's this back and forth, this exchange of, if you do this, I'll do this. When you win, I'll win. And that's been the relentless nature of both sides has been the interesting thing.
Yeah. Gary Neville also on Sky Sports talking about how this title race has really been hard to fathom.
Historically, I would have said that would have been a killer blow tonight watching that home, because you feel like you need a leg up sometimes in a title race. But more and more, it's looking like we're going to see 2 months of flawless results and that each team's going to win every single game to the end. I can't believe it. I still can't believe what I'm watching. Tonight was more like it in terms of what you would historically see. You'd see teams flagging a little bit under real pressure, looking all over the place, but just getting through it or not getting through it, as the case may be.
I just remember all down the years, I say all down the years, that's not correct. The years where there were title races, those nights were so clammy. you were sweaty watching them. Now, more often than not, Liverpool weren't involved, so I was sweating on somebody else's behalf.
Right.
But they were tense, close affairs. Tonight felt a bit more like that. But he's right. Generally, it's not been the case. And people can say you found the games exciting. The results largely have not been exciting. They've been predictable.
Fairly dominant is what we've seen. Yeah, I mean, you talk about how teams break mentally. I keep going back to this because it's what I know best, but the Tottenham-Leicester City title race. I mean, that final loss felt like a loss. The draw against Chelsea, the battle at the bridge. Like, you know, you witnessed the team finally break under the pressure of what had been going on for the last, you know, couple months or so while that title race was progressing. And I don't know, I keep just thinking about, yes, these two teams are certainly the most skilled teams in the league. Nobody could even come close to disputing that. But mentally,
the fortitude is incredible. And I think I think also as well, I know I make fun of Pep about, you know, that he's like Pep Bot 3000, keep working the system. And if there's a glitch, and like against Spurs, like there was that glitch where they had to do something different and they couldn't pull it back. Mm. I say that, but also the fact that you've got a plan and a way of playing. All right, tonight that wasn't the reason they won the game, but generally that is reassuring. That's the reason Liverpool beat Newcastle, because they kept working the ball, they kept moving things, and they kept being thoughtful.
Yeah, we'll talk about that game now. Newcastle and Liverpool, we had looked at it as a possible trouble spot for Liverpool going in.
I called it. I said that.
Yeah, the Rafa effect, just going to a fairly difficult place in St. James Park, a team that you know will be up for it, and they were.
Very much so.
Yeah, every time Liverpool scored, Newcastle somewhat quickly had a response until there was just no time left for them to respond. 3-2 was the final. Divock Origi with another. His moments have kind of been few and far between, but my goodness, we'll see how this all plays out in the end. But he's got two of the biggest goals of the season so far. We heard the clip there from Gary Neville talking a little bit about it. Any signs from Liverpool that, you know, maybe, I mean, it's week 37, but any signs of starting to crack from a performance like that?
Physically, yes. Obviously, you know, the injuries that have come with those games, there's a little bit of fatigue setting in. The defending wasn't the best on either goal. Rondon's volley was very, very good. The other goal was, I think both goalkeeper, possibly centre-half, could have dealt better with it. But not major cracks, Andrew, apart from the fatigue you would expect to see at this time of year.
Yeah. Another player, too. We'll talk more about Liverpool, but, you know, Rondon, his goal was fantastic. But, boy, week in, week out now, for the last month or so, I keep watching Iosi Perez, and I keep thinking, wow, this, like, is this some sort of coming-out party for him right now that we're seeing? He almost had that off-the-chest volley, smashed it off the bar.
Smashed the frame.
Like, yeah.
People thought Alisson made
the save
there.
Season.
He didn't get near it. Yeah, it was awesome. The thing about Iosi Perez, I would say, Andrew, is he entered double figures like 2 weeks ago.
You're right. It's kind of a late bloom right now.
Yeah, and Newcastle fans love him because he works so hard. He is the embodiment of Rafa's Newcastle, because he is a, at best, middle-tier striker who has been turned into this, you know, the phrase, a silk purse from a sow's ear. He is basically this piece of alchemy by Rafa Benitez. It's true of the entire team.
I wonder if somebody will be, by him doing this, like he's doing this now at the right time.
Is someone going
to
jump?
Is someone going to overreact, yeah, to what you've seen in the last month and overspend on a guy who we largely, like you say, we largely know what he's about.
Yeah.
But I don't, maybe that's not fair. He's not that old.
Well, you never know. Players can go through patches. Strikers can go through patches. Maybe this is his purple patch right now. Maybe someone will make a move on him and he'll prove to be very good somewhere else. But you would hope not, because we still don't know. The contract negotiations are still going on at St. James's Park. Rafa said things are good, but the fans are still singing, "We want you to stay." Nothing is solidified there. I wonder, Rafa's very loyal. I'm not sure, would he want to get rid of Perez? If
you're right.
But economics, maybe he'll be told, you've bought in Almiron in January, you have to sell one to get one.
I don't know if he's the one that you choose. We still don't know what's going to happen with Rondon. He's on loan currently.
Think about that. It's a loan yeah. swap with West Brom. They've literally just swapped strikers. Mike Ashley is the tightest owner in football. He is the meanest owner in football.
It's pretty amazing knowing that and looking at their squad that they they were pretty much out of the relegation battle for most of the season. There were a few moments where maybe you'd be nervous if you were Newcastle.
They're mathematically safe well over a month.
Yeah. The big moment in this game with Liverpool up 1-0, the quick response, Rondon fires one. Trent Alexander-Arnold blocks it with his hand.
Well, he should walk, if that's what you're asking me.
No, I'm not asking you anything. I'm just saying this. And then Christian Atsu puts in the rebound. And I'm just, there were a lot of people. Don't get all defensive. You are really, you want to fight. That's what you came in here. You wanted, you were waiting for the moment. You've chosen this as the moment to fight me.
Your
all right, fine.
Anti-Liverpool has just blossomed in the last month.
What have I said that's anti-Liverpool? We're talking about the game.
No,
that wasn't a big moment.
No.
It was a big moment.
Oh, I think it was huge. And I think it was actually, I think he's got it wrong.
Well,
can't he let the goal stand and then send him and send Trent Alexander-Arnold?
So here is what was written. If you would allow me to finish, you would have seen how unbiased and truly objective and professional I really am. Dermot Gallagher, referee expert at Sky Sports, he was asked about this, and I will read for you what he said. He said the decision was mostly correct. He said the offense he would have been guilty of was denying a goal, but that didn't happen as Atsu scored from the rebound.
Mm.
The referee hasn't got time to whistle to give a penalty. What would have put a lid on it would have been if Alexander-Arnold was yellow-carded for a handball. For some reason, the referee didn't book him. That's the only punishment he could have received. He hasn't denied a goal because a goal was scored, so the referee can't send him off. It was fortuitous for both, as would Newcastle want a goal chalked off? He asks in a high voice.
Andre Mariner had a bad game. There was plenty of incidents where I'm like, you've got to balance it. I think I know what he was trying to do. Let the game flow. This is a fun, exciting game.
Well, are you talking, you're going beyond, you're not talking about this decision anymore.
That's wrong for me. You have to send him off. Now, I'm a Liverpool fan.
No, you send someone off if they deny a goal-scoring opportunity. The play resulted in a goal being scored. So I think by definition, he has not denied a goal-scoring opportunity. He played the advantage. A goal was scored, and so that wipes
it
away.
Okay,
but he would have... Gallagher says he would have yellow-carded him for the offense.
He didn't even get that.
No, he didn't do that.
So, okay.
But
there was another tackle. I mean, Richie was attempting to kick Salah round the park, and there's one tackle that's right in front of Andre Mariner where he rakes his studs down the back of Salah's Achilles. And I'm just watching it. I'm like, it's not bias or anything. It's just, you've got to call that. Mm. Not even a break in the play.
My question for you on the Alexander-Arnold handball situation. If you're Newcastle, what do you prefer happen there? Would you rather...
Penalty and a red card.
Right?
Yeah. Newcastle have not exactly been free-flowing goal scorers. So when they hit the net, they hit the net.
It's one thing not to be free-flowing. We're talking about a penalty. That has nothing to do with flow. I almost feel like the rule should be changed. And after the goal goes in, before the restart, the referee, Andre Mariner, should walk over to Rafa Benitez and present him with both options. And Rafa should be able to choose. I think that's brilliant.
Moving yeah, you'd on. Love that, wouldn't you?
What's wrong with that?
I think that got the...
I think Newcastle should be able to choose what suits them in that situation.
Oh, my God.
Why?
Yeah, Newcastle fans should have little pads in their hands and they can choose the substitutes too. Why take it away from Rafa altogether?
No, I'm saying it should be exclusively Rafa who chooses.
What a weird man you are. That's not how it works. Okay.
Your bitterness. You've done a nice job, but it's starting to really shine through.
No,
it's making me uncomfortable.
I just hate you.
That's never been more clear. With Liverpool, I wanted to ask you this because the season has gone, you know, at times, who was it that sent in mail to us recently about Mo Salah that they were actually starting to consider wanting to sell him?
A Liverpool fan on the Instagram.
Yeah, like, it's weird to me because Liverpool are a star dominated team. Mo Salah, by and large, is it last season that he's had? No, it wasn't like what he did
still
in 17-18. But
season.
My God, he's had a great year. He was just named the PFA Fans Player of the Month for the month of April as the season's hitting its peak. Firmino's been good. Van Dijk is your player of the year for most people. Like, the stars have really shown for Liverpool this season. So the thing that is interesting to me is that while that is true, it feels like there are unsung heroes all over the place for them that if they do go on and win the title, need recognition as well.
Name some of them for me because
I'm
interested.
I will look at the winning goal.
For an outsider.
I will look at the winning goal and I will say Shaqiri comes on and takes that free kick beautifully.
Can I make a hero suggestion here?
Yeah.
You're the hero. You regularly and consistently for the last 2 years, I think was the first time we had this conversation. And you have said, why would you take an outswinger? If I was manager, I would demand in-swingers all the time. Obviously, good quality in-swingers. They are so hard to defend.
There have to be stats that back this up. There have to be. Whether it be a corner, whether it be a free kick. I'm telling you, if I were a manager and one of my players did an outswinging free kick, he'd be off. I don't care if it was the third minute. You're off. That's it. We have one rule here. No outswingers. And it was Van Dijk that had to step up and say something.
He said, yeah, no, you hit it. And it's not because TAA doesn't have a great delivery. It's simply because...
No, he had a brilliant delivery.
Van Dijk realizes if it's delivered right, all you got to do is help it on. Mm-hmm. You just add a little bit to it. You are so right. You are quite sage.
But I'm saying unsung heroes. Like Shaqiri, for however good it felt like he was going to be early in the season for Liverpool, I don't know why. I haven't really heard Jurgen Klopp talk about it much, but Shaqiri, he's largely been a non-factor of late.
He apart from that performance against Manchester United, for a lot of the spring, he's been suffering with a groin injury. And when he's even gotten fit, I feel as if Klopp is looking at different options. And there's many times he sat on the bench, either very late or not come on at all. And you're like, what is going on here? So when he came in, it was very, very interesting. Now, going forward with the injuries we have, it will be even more interesting to see what role he plays.
Yeah, but you see him playing that ball. You see Origi headed on. Did it get some help from Lascelles? Yes, but Origi still had to do his job there to make that possible. Earlier in the game on Salah's goal, you know, Alexander-Arnold played in a beautiful ball, but with two men on Daniel Sturridge the corner, a back heel perfectly to Alexander-Arnold, who's able to play it in. You know, Sturridge, Shaqiri, Origi, these guys playing huge roles in the peak moment of the season for Liverpool. This is what has to happen for good teams to do what they're doing right now. Totally, everyone has to contribute.
Totally agree with you. When you come in, it's a great American phrase that I first heard when I started like watching American sports and stuff that coaches say.
I know exactly what you're going to say.
Do you?
Next man up.
No.
Oh.
But I've often heard it across basketball, football, everything.
Uh-huh.
Whatever you got to do, just get in there and make a play. Make a play. Be strong, be physical, be aggressive, but make a play. All right.
Coach Taylor right there.
Yeah, maybe it was Coach Taylor.
That's what you sound like.
Just make a play.
That's an exclusively American thing, huh? That hustle,
playmaking,
right? Isn't that a
making,
thing?
I've heard of, back home in the parlance, the soccer parlance, you'd hear of playmakers, but until I came here, I didn't know the phrase, oh, he made some great plays. I
was really? Like,
yeah, no.
Interesting. Game of the season for me so far. We'll have our Devonlings in a couple weeks, actually. But this,
we'll have to start really racking our brains.
This would be it for me up to this point. There's still a lot of drama to be played out in the last weekend, so we'll see how that goes. But,
will there be? I wonder.
Well, we're assured of drama.
Are we?
Well, by the nature of the fact that we're heading into the final weekend and the title race is separated by what it is. That's like,
you remember the final
drama can only,
do you remember,
happen.
We were in the same position in 13-14? Where was the drama? Liverpool
guess,
bet Newcastle and Man City beat, who was it?
But what if, like,
West Ham?
All right, but there is
no, Liverpool
is drama
beat West Ham and then whatever it was. I can't even remember.
All right, so yeah, maybe it won't be what drama. Happened in Man City QPR.
it will be following the form book.
This title race has brought out an ugly side in you. I'm serious. I'm almost happy that it's all
an uglier side.
Is this the best title race you've seen in the EPL? The EPL era?
No. Like how?
Because this has been amazing. Because one team may end the season with 97 points and not win a title. This is incredible.
No,
are you blind?
The consistency.
To facts?
Do I have to repeat myself? Good Lord, I'm going to bore the crap out of people here. The consistency of the two teams is great. Doesn't mean it's the greatest title race. The greatest title race would be, say something like that genuinely went to the final day. Blackburn, Man United, 94-95 was unbelievable.
This is also genuinely going to the final day. If Michael Phelps and Ryan Lochte race each other and they both set world records in the process, guess what? That's the best swimming race I've ever seen. This is what's happening here.
Oh, no, that's not... No. I think you misconstrued what I was saying earlier on. The twists and stuff make it give us the intrigue, give us the beauty of it. This has just been teams winning. Winning at a great pelt, albeit. But they've just been doing exactly what we thought they would.
Let's move on to the top four.
You need the twists and turns, man. You need to go to Ellen Road and lose.
The top four It appears to have been settled. Manchester United feebly drawing with Huddersfield.
Have you seen the tweet video that's gone viral of Luke Shaw tracking back?
Oh no! Yeah,
Jesus, you're playing for Manchester United, man.
I mean, when they see Huddersfield on the fixture list at this stage in an important game, and next week they have Cardiff, right? I think. Like, two relegated opponents to end the season. Now, I don't know. Even if they had won out, who knows what might have happened. They still had, you know, they needed some help. But, like, to do everyone this favor of not being able to defeat Huddersfield.
Huddersfield have three wins all season, right? Two of those came against Wolves.
Which, in itself, is...
bizarre. Like, if they didn't have United giving them points, I mean, how would people look back on this season for them?
Truly... troubling for Manchester United.
Let's save that because we got a bit of Man United coming up in the mailbag, and I bashed them so much.
Well, I just have two questions for you because we've gone somewhat long here with the title race discussion.
My questions
are this: who should feel the way it looks right now? It appears Chelsea have clinched a spot in the top four.
Right.
It appears that Tottenham have. They are 3 points up on Arsenal, but with a goal difference that would be difficult, but not impossible for Arsenal to overcome.
Tottenham's day.
Only because it happened 3 years ago when Tottenham on the final day of the season looked like they were going to finish second behind Leicester and then proceeded to lose 5-1 to Newcastle at home while Arsenal won 4-0 and jumped Tottenham on the last day. That's your eight-goal swing
right there.
And Newcastle
were down at that point, weren't they?
Oh, yeah. That was it. So... it's only because I've seen it before.
Hit the old Gil drop right now.
Oh, this is bad. This is really bad.
It's simply... so that's where it stands right now. It appears
so you're
that
asking
Arsenal...
me who's the best?
Who should feel best about how this has played out between these teams? Really, it's
all
between Tottenham
them.
And Chelsea, yeah.
All right. Chelsea and Maurizio Sarri. If you circle back to the moods surrounding the League Cup, and you circle back to the chance of F. Sarri ball at Stamford Bridge. The would he, won't he survive the next game talk? And yet Chelsea are in the Europa League semi-final going home to the Bridge with an away goal, confirmed for the Champions League with one game left. I mean, I know people have been upset with the tactical tweakings, the whole Callum Hudson-Odoi, the whole why don't you play your best player regularly, Eden Hazard talk that was for a few weeks, and the Kante positioning... his transformation as an attacking midfielder. But you have to say, partly due to the ineptitude of everybody else around them.
Partly?
Entirely. Things have, not entirely, they've still won games too. Chelsea have put themselves in the best position out of this. Now, the question about Sarri going forward is much more interesting. Because do you give him a transfer window, should it be offered to you by the Court of Arbitration for Sport? Who, if they don't find a ruling or... you know, they create this kind of interregnum period where Chelsea will be allowed to have a window. That's going to be interesting. It's all down to the CAS.
That's kind of why I said Tottenham should feel better about the situation. Because if you think about Tottenham's future, and you talked about this last week, it's always hanging in the balance when it's Spurs. It just is. So the one thing that has kept them afloat and kept them intact, they haven't signed anyone, but they haven't really lost anyone either. And that's because they've been continuously competing in the Champions League. If you take that away, I know the new stadium is great and everybody loves it and the players love it, but essentially that's brick and mortar. The Champions League is this higher power for these players where they can showcase their skills on the most elite level. If you remove that from the equation, I think players go. I think Eriksen goes. I think Alderweireld go. Hell, they may go anyway.
And you have faced the prospect of a building that's not full for the Europa League.
That's possible. And on top of that, who like a club that already struggles to bring guys in, if you take the Champions League away, who are you bringing in now? Like for Tottenham, more so I think than any of these other teams, staying in the Champions League is so essential to them being able to continue on this track that they're headed down.
And it's still a money generator, and when you're paying down debt on a stadium, that's important.
Absolutely. Now, the other side of this, between Manchester United and Arsenal, who should feel the worst?
I was going to say United, and but I do too much United bashing. I say look at Arsenal losing to Palace, and drawing with Brighton at home, losing to Wolves and Leicester. Tricky games, yeah. maybe tricky, but this is the same Arsenal who dispatched Napoli with ease and are on course to knock out Valencia on the way to the Europa League final. 1 point from four while everyone else implodes around them. Emery will be devastated.
How is it possible that this is the same team that went unbeaten for 22 straight games and are still most likely going to finish behind a Tottenham team who has taken 10 points from their last 11? Amazing.
It's terrible. Now, that defence is awful. I think the attack has been a little bit limp in the league, more than a little bit limp. But there's no excuses for this. This has been incredible. When everyone around them has left the door wide open, Arsenal have found a way to fall out the window.
Yeah, that's pretty much what's happened. You mentioned the defence. Two straight years, they've conceded 50 or more goals. First time they've done that in the top flight in 35 years. There is a clear problem there. It's not the only problem.
No, it's not.
But it is the primary problem that they're going to have to address.
Now, in times of great, great strife, who do you turn to?
The Lord, mainly.
The Lord. I, too, turn to the Lord. But Arsenal fans turn to Claude from Arsenal Fan TV for some perspective. And he comes up with some wise, sage words about who's to blame.
All of them out. Every one of them. Every single one of them. I'm not being funny. They've not got the heart. They haven't got what it takes at the top level. Yeah, simple. None of them. Even when it matters, you know, everyone goes... Even when it matters, Aubameyang, where was he when it really mattered today? When it really... mattered.
He did score the penalty, yeah, he did.
Yeah, well, when it matters, I said, when it's 1-1...
Well, you know what, players can miss chances, man, you know what I mean? Listen, players can miss chances. I saw it the other night,
I hate to say this, I don't want to mention the name, if that's Harry Kane, it's in the back of the net.
If it's players
Salah,
can miss chances.
If it's Salah, it's in the back of the net. And that's it, simple.
I heard him say that about
Harry Kane. A charlatan! A pox on his house! If this was the Bible, like, he would be strung up for what... What is he saying? I hate to say this, if that was Harry Kane.
That was amazing.
That is blasphemy!
That needs to be isolated and just repeated on, like, every Tottenham podcast ever created. That will live forever. He will regret that
moment.
Oh,
my word!
Yeah. A couple things I would say to him. First of all, I disagree. Not every player should be gone for this.
What case of existential crisis do you get to when you say that penalties don't matter?
Right. Now, I will say this. For all the goals that Aubameyang has scored this season, he does miss chances. He had a bad miss late in this game, which was the most costly miss of the season. Mm. He did miss a penalty against Tottenham in the North London Derby. So, you know, we've talked about that with him before as being a problem. Now, by no means, okay, get rid of him. Then what? What are you going to do?
Who's taking his contract at 30 years of age?
Well, first of all, I would say a lot of teams. He's still very good. Mm. And second of all, okay, so what are you... You're going to play Lacazette by himself? Or are you going to go out and buy someone else? Is that the Arsenal way of recent years?
Keep
Aubameyang. That's ridiculous.
Get rid of the rest of them.
There are a number of other guys. First of all, Granit Xhaka, that's it. If you're an Arsenal, I can't believe he's not the first name coming out of these fans' mouths. What is he doing? And there's probably 10 times I said that during this match. But the penalty, what is he thinking in that spot? First of all, the angle he takes, okay, whatever. I guess you just got beat. But then to put your arm out, to draw attention to it, clips the back of Sully March's legs. It's an easy penalty. Xhaka never even protested a single word of it. What's he thinking?
He had the look of a schoolboy who's been caught with his hand in the cookie jar and then tripped up the cookie jar.
And then, you know, in the back, you can only say so much about Mustafi.
Socrates.
They've had bad seasons. The one thing I would say in Arsenal's defense on this... Yes, there were moments where they looked terrible. Basuma was incredible for Brighton in this game. March was great. Glenn Murray was great. But it's more the defending. Arsenal were putting the heat to Brighton. And if it wasn't for heroic efforts, I thought, from Dunk and from Duffy, Arsenal probably win this game. Those guys were amazing.
Can I quote from another sage prophet of the North London Finsbury Park area?
Yes.
Troops. So this is what Troops had to say. Troops had the suggestion that you can't blame Emery, blad. Listen, you can't blame Emery, fam. Because that's still, that's Wenger's spine, blad. Which is a frightening image. I had this image of Wenger's spine dripping with blood. Because he said, you know,
he calls it blood.
Blood, fam. Yeah. That's still Wenger's spine. That's not really true, though, is it? I mean, if you want to go, yeah, I suppose
well, it is true.
Goalkeepers changed. Centre halves are the same, mm-hmm. with the exception of
central mid is the same. Xhaka and Ozil. They're playing a diamond. Xhaka's
yeah, but
the
it's not like
midfield.
He's got Guendouzi. He's got Torreira. You know, he's got options that are not exactly. They don't scream Arsene Wenger. Mm. Maybe he's right though.
Yeah, I would actually tend to agree with that wise old sage that you mentioned there. This is
Arsenal Football Club fan.
Now, this is terrible for Arsenal to have it end like this at home against Brighton, but they do still have some even more important matches to go. Well, I say matches. They're up 3-1 heading into the second leg against Valencia.
Well, that was Troops' other point. He said they should focus entirely on winning the Europa League.
That decision's been made for them.
But he still, you know, he came to it.
Yeah. So there you go. That is... I did not think the top four would mostly have been settled on the final day. I am leaving myself some wiggle room for the unthinkable. It couldn't happen. Can I say one thing about Tottenham before we get out, the Tottenham-Bournemouth match? This was a little bit battle of the bridge-y from Tottenham against Bournemouth. To have two players sent off in a five-minute span, I will mount a small defense of Son.
He didn't hit him in the face?
No. Congratulations, Jefferson Lerma. You are now my all-time answer for most hated, despised, detestable player that I have ever come across.
Is he on the list those who have wronged us?
Well, that's a U.S. men-centric list.
Oh, I'm sorry.
If Spurs somehow are to not get to the top four, then I will create a those who have wronged us for Tottenham, and he will be on that list. What he did in this game, this guy's not trying to play soccer. He's trying to fight people. And you know what? I guess I would say good for him. Bad on the ref to not see what happened. But you know, ultimately, Son is a person. He's a human being. He's just been knocked to the ground. As he's getting up, here comes Jefferson Lerma from behind, who punches him in the back of the neck. Punches him. And Son feels it like a human being would and just reacts like a human being would and pushes Lerma, who couldn't wait to fall to the ground. Hate. That's all I feel.
What?
It's just hate.
I notice how you haven't attempted to mount a defense of Foyt.
Oh, well, it was brainless and idiotic.
Okay.
He might turn out to be a decent player, but what are you doing?
Well, the evidence is not good so far.
What are you doing? But no, if somebody ran in here right now and punched me in the back of the neck, chances are I'd stand up and push them like Son did. I know we ask these guys to be superhuman, but how do you not just react in a moment like that?
Yeah, no, I agree. There's a lot in that. By the way, it's just good that Jefferson Lerma has done something for Bournemouth, because there's a lot of fans, if you listen to them, were quite disappointed with him. 25 million spent on him. He hasn't done a ton this season.
And he was doing that all day. Like this just like nonsense all over the pitch.
It doesn't seem like an Eddie Howe way to send a team out. I wonder if Eddie spoke to him afterwards. Jefferson, could you calm down, please?
Well, I mean, they did win. So Tottenham defended they defended like they knew their season depended on it. I give them credit with nine men to do as well as they did. But eventually, you would think would be an easy nut to crack, and Bournemouth did do that. JJ, I'll tell you what, we'll take a very quick break. When we come back, I actually have a Boy Wonder watch. We haven't had one of these in a while.
Which is great.
That we have one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. We'll talk about that in just a sec. Don't go anywhere.
It's time for Boy Wonder Watch. Christian Pulisic! Oh, that boy really is special!
Pulisic, and he's bursting through the middle. It's Christian Pulisic, and it's a sensational opening goal for Borussia Dortmund.
Oh, it really was. Back now on Caught Offside with a Boy Wonder Watch as he scores the opener for Borussia Dortmund. Put them up 1-0. They eventually were up 2-0, and then they were eventually tied 2-2, and that is how it ended. Good for Pulisic. Oh, so bad for Dortmund.
Like a hot knife through Hershey chocolate, straight through that defense after 5 minutes. brilliant goal. Really, really great, direct, powerful finishing. Then Roman Berkey decided, hey, this game, I think it was after about an hour, it's not fun enough. Actually, I think it was after 70 minutes. 20 minutes left in the game, Roman Berkey lets that shot through his legs. It was horrific. He's a goalkeeper that I'm never 100% sure on. He can pull off great saves, and yet he is capable of that blunder. And then, old man Pizarro, he pops up with a goal. He's 40. And that's it. I don't know what else there's. Now, there was one more chance where another slaloming run by Boy Wonder ends up with a cross straight across the goal, but there was no Pablo Alcácer or no striker to put it home.
Yeah.
But he had what appeared to be a fine game.
Two games remain in the league. Bayern Munich now, because of this, hold a four-point lead, a lead which you simply don't see them relinquishing.
Forget about it.
I guess this is a Boy Wonder watch. Let's talk about Pulisic for a sec. This season was weird, let's be honest. Form-wise, it wasn't necessarily the trajectory that we had seen him traveling on the last couple seasons. Injuries plagued him. Unfortunately, Dortmund's depth at his position really plagued him, with Jadon Sancho just being completely undroppable.
First choice.
However, it's really, you'd have to say it's been a season of adversity for Pulisic, but I feel like maybe lately he's been starting to turn it around. I think 3 goals and an assist in all competitions for both club and country over his last 7 matches. He needs that heading into the summer, going to a new club where he's going to be counted on. I'm assuming right now that the transfer ban will be upheld for Chelsea. And if that's the case, he is, with Hazard probably leaving,
yes,
Pulisic on that price tag is, whether he likes it or not, the crown jewel. Young player going there who plays a similar position to Hazard. So this is, it's important for him to end strong, I think.
I want the niggling injuries that he's had to be gone. I want him to have the best opportunity to show what he can do. And you know what? If he comes up short, fine. But nothing worse, nothing more frustrating than scoring a goal for your country and then hobbling off, you know, not long after. And that's what happened. And that's just been kind of the story of his career the last 2 seasons.
Yeah. So hopefully he does finish strong. He's playing well right now. And if you haven't seen that goal, go online and see it, because it's
awesome.
It's great stuff. You have a mailbag, right?
I have. Mail Beasy at CO Soccer Pod on Twitter, caughtoffsidepod@gmail.com, caughtoffside ESPN on the Instagram machine. Follow us there. We need to get to 1,000 followers or the kids will laugh at us. Justin Ridge. Guys, I'm embarrassed to be a United supporter right now. Any and all stick you two give the club is deserved. I would love to believe that change will come over the summer, but a change at the top is what's needed. The executives, Woodward in particular, need to go or change the vision of what the club is. Now United are just a commercial machine to pay off the Glazers' debts and increase the stock price. Do you guys agree or no? Is new ownership needed?
I don't know that new ownership is needed, as long as they make the right decision regarding a director of football. I think that's more the issue. I mean, look, ultimately, ownership's job is to do what? Like, why do we always kill Mike Ashley? Because he refuses to spend any money. You can't say that of the Glazers. Yes, they do care about making money, but they show a willingness to spend.
There's no general plan, though. What you want is a direction and a plan, and that may require what you said,
right,
director of football.
I think that's the more pressing issue. The Glazers have become an easy target for Manchester United fans to hate on, but I don't think he's as much the problem as those beneath him. Here's Craig Burley on what he sees as the real problem with Manchester United.
They appoint a manager on a whim when the bubble's burst. But what about people asking, is Solskjaer the right man for the job? Is anybody asking, are the Glazers asking, is Ed Woodward the right man for the job? I suppose he's the right man to make the money. And let's be fair, that's all they care about. Because what's happening on the field at Man United at the moment, and for quite a period of time, since Sir Alex left, stinks. They're horrible, and they're a long, long way to get back to the top.
That is true.
And that is pretty fair.
It does feel like this will not be solved in the span of one summer.
It certainly will not. And if you look how long it took Liverpool under Klopp to get where they are right now, you're looking at a 3-year cycle. So that's going to need a real plan.
ESPN FC is reporting today that Paul Pogba wants out, and he will demand a move. I don't know what they'll recoup from him. My guess is, I mean, are they going to have to take a loss on that? I don't know. Whatever it is, they will get a significant amount of money. Whether or not it's what they spent to get him in the first place, I don't know. But they'll get a lot of money.
They'll still get big money.
It has to be spent wisely.
They could recoup what they get back. They really could. He's the World Cup winning player who is in the prime of his career, and Real Madrid are quite happy to spend money on players and that's where he's going there, or he's going PSG or one of the super clubs.
Real Madrid, it's going to be so interesting with what happens with all the players that are being talked about going there, mainly right now Pogba, Hazard, you know, that's going to cost a lot. So who's going to have to leave Real Madrid? Like, who will suddenly become available that's like a fairly name brand player? It could be that will be interesting to watch.
Talking about United's failure to make the top four, something that I forgot to mention was there's this sketch from Family Guy that always reminds me of basically what Spurs and Arsenal have been over the last month. It's the two Gyllenhaals. Which one is worse, Maggie or Jake? And this guy interrupts and he says this.
I think it's their father.
Is it their father?
I assume it's because they're sitting at a dinner table.
Oh, maybe.
And then this man who I assume is their father walks over and says,
Kids, you're both just awful.
And that is North London right now.
That's very nice of you.
Reese, 710. So I was talking about how I ordered a throwback Fiorentina Rui Costa jersey. Reese contacted me. He's basically his favorite player of all time. And he's got him in a Benfica jersey tattooed to his calf. I'm going to give you a little look at that now, Andrew, if you care to react.
Look at that leg.
That is something.
Yeah. You got to really love a player to do that.
I love Rui Costa, but he loves Rui Costa.
What a risk. Like, you may think you know, and this is, I'm not talking about Rui Costa. I don't, insert player here that you adore and worship. You worship him. You get him tattooed on your leg. You think you know him. What if that guy goes out and, like, you know, beats up a kid or something?
Right.
Now, like, what do you do?
I think it's tremendous that he's done it, but it is a leap of faith unless they are family and you can vouch for their character.
Like, let's say if you buy a jersey of somebody and they go out and do something reprehensible, all right, you just don't wear the jersey again. What's he going to do, chop his leg off?
See, I know that you would get a tattoo of Allen Iverson on your back. I know you would.
Because I have a blind spot for him.
You love him.
He could do some. He has done some kind of not so great things.
Yeah.
It's the one guy in my life where I have a blind spot. I can't help it.
Would you get a tattoo of me?
I would never get a tattoo. I have no problem with people who have them. It's just, I don't know. I don't think I'd be weird on me. You know me. Like, could you see me with a tattoo?
What if I got your face tattooed on me?
On like your lower back?
Ugh, not there. Creepy. Somewhere else. Oh, your face tattooed on my face. Oh, wow. Face off.
So, like, you would just look like me.
Yes.
I could see you doing that, but
just
purely,
to annoy you.
Not to annoy me. To be running around town doing awful things and people thinking that it's me doing them. I could see you going to those lengths.
Oh, the jig is up. You've got my game. James Horncastle, I included this. He didn't tweet. He didn't tweet us. He's tweeted us before.
No, he hasn't. He doesn't know who any of us are. Oh, he doesn't care about the show. He's never listened. This is a fake message you're about to read.
Struth, at DiMarzio, reporting Mourinho has an offer from Celtic.
That's real?
I don't know, man.
Is that not a fake account?
How intriguing would that be?
I can't see it.
I can't see them spending the money. That's what I can't see. I could see him going there, quick entry into European Champions League, and just boring his way to their second European Cup.
Well, how much, you say that he's going to cost too much money. How much will he cost? Is he kind of in that image rehabilitation mode where he kind of just needs to take whatever he can get? He'll be playing in the Champions League, so teams across Europe will see him.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Largely, it sounds crazy to me, and I can't picture it.
I want it to happen. Mourinho versus Gerrard.
Yeah.
This is from Liz Heron-Sweet, who is our listener down in Brazil. And this is so funny. Check out this ref who performed a prayer on the VAR terminal before the Sao Paulo versus Flamengo game today. He didn't just perform a prayer. He prayed beside it. Then he blessed it. He gave it the old Catholic blessing. that my mother gives to me whenever I go out of the house.
What's he praying for exactly? That the machine will operate properly?
I guess that it gives him the clarity he needs so that he makes the right decisions, Andrew. Because in South American football, making the wrong decision as a referee is not great. It's such a funny visual.
But he's blessing the machine.
On TV, he's blessing the machine. My mother used to get holy water from Lourdes and Knock, shrines where the Virgin Mary is supposed to have appeared. And she used to bless me before football games.
Really?
Yeah.
Did she bless you before you tore your ACL?
Oh, what are you inferring?
I'm just, what do you mean? Why?
Why would you bring up one of the most horrible moments in my life?
Answer the
and
question.
And then suggest that it was my mother's fault.
I'm curious.
Oh, you. You are.
Still hasn't answered the question.
Wow. This is incredible. Carlos Garcia. Guys. Relax and drink water. Long-time listener, first-time emailer. I must say I was a bit disappointed that in the same episode where you guys discussed Zlatan being a bully and players being racist, you guys did not talk about the behaviour of Liverpool fans at Barcelona.
Great point.
I'm sure it wasn't ignored and probably only overlooked, but I felt it should be discussed. Well, let me just say, I saw a video, two videos, of the same guy being an absolute disgrace, pushing people into the fountain in Barcelona.
I saw that.
And then he racially abused an Asian gentleman who was there as well. This is disgusting. But what was worse, and I think is what one of the problems of this whole issue of fan behaviour, is his friends cackling and almost egging him on. You know, real bully behaviour. This isn't funny. This isn't cool. Yeah, I was embarrassed and ashamed. So there, I've mentioned it. While I'm here, favourite show moment other than Maradona is Andrew talking about his DUI and having to coach a bunch of kids as part of his probation. I totally fell for it and made me feel much different about him for a week until he cleared it up.
Yeah, I oversold a joke once.
Oh, wait. And then you had to make a hasty clarification.
Yeah, I was terrified that people were going to actually, because somebody tweeted at me how surprised they were to have heard that I did that. And I said, no, I was talking about the Mighty Ducks, that I was Gordon Bombay. But so many people didn't get the joke because I guess it was a little too deadpan. So, yeah, I guess that we should say as a reminder now to give us five, if you like the show, give us a 5-star iTunes review. And in honor of our 5-year anniversary, also put in your review what maybe your favorite moment has been from over the 5 years. And then starting, I think next week, we'll start it up where we're going to start at the ends of podcasts. We'll go back, find those moments, and play them for you. Sadly, one moment that has appeared a few times is one that I would rather us not.
EPL, back for more.
Yeah. I don't know if we still have that.
Liar. Liar.
I'm not sure.
You have the whole thing. And if not, I'll make you record it again.
How are you going to do that?
Oh, I'll tell you. After what you said about my mother and the link you made to my injury.
It's not to your mother.
I never say bad things about your mother.
I'm just
mother.
Curious. I'm not saying anything bad about her.
Yeah, you are.
Did she miss a week?
Or my God, this is like you're working on a comedy bit. My Catholic friend used to get blessed. So one time he got an injury. Did he miss a bit? A week? What was she thinking? I mean, come on. Seriously, you're doing a bit now.
Sounds like gold to me.
Ryan Howe. I'm so mad. Jeez. Atsia Soccer Pod, maybe a shout out for Hartford Athletic on the next pod. I know you guys like to talk about supporting local clubs, and that is exactly what we have here in Hartford, or what we did here in Hartford. You certainly did. 11,346 in Hartford for their first home opener.
Yeah, I saw that. That is awesome. And I saw a similar scene for, I believe it was New Mexico United in the USL in their 3-0 victory over San Antonio. The scenes at New Mexico were unbelievable. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's spreading. Soccer.
Soccer's already there. We just need to give people the conduit to go and support. And we need promotion and relegation. That's the mailbag.
Nice.
And we better get through this pod.
Really felt good about that mailbag.
Oh, I bet you did.
Really did. We really attacked the issues. The real issues. What to watch for, JJ? UEFA Champions League. We don't have too many more opportunities to play this, so yeah. Oh, yeah. Tuesday, 3 o'clock, Liverpool and Barcelona. Of course, Barcelona with a 3-goal advantage, 3-0. heading into the second leg in Anfield. No Salah, who unfortunately, in a really troubling scene, left with a head injury against Newcastle. So he will not play against Barcelona. Firmino also will not play. Naby Keita, who's out
for an extended period. He's going to miss the African Nations Cup.
I'm not saying that these guys, obviously Keita, or Salah or Firmino, I'm not necessarily saying that they could have played, but is this one where you just punt, or are you going into tomorrow thinking, hey, let's go for this?
I've said this before, I don't think they really have another gear, and I expect them to pick a team that's going to have a go for it, absolutely.
Wednesday, 3 o'clock, Ajax and Tottenham. Ajax with a 1-0 advantage from the first leg. Son returns. Now, he was red carded in the league. That, of course, does not apply to this. He missed the first leg for yellow card accumulation. Like I said last week, Son getting a goal. And he's mad now after Jefferson Lerma. He's angry. Tottenham, it seems like, can now really go into this full guns blazing because it appears as though they will qualify for the top four and be assured of Champions League football next season. Moussa Sissoko had an interesting angle to this one. Like what you just said with Liverpool, how they only know one way. Sissoko believes that the same is true of Ajax. He said, I think the good thing is Ajax is a team that likes to play. I don't think they will stick together at the back, sit at the back, and only try to defend. I think they will try to play, try to score. And for us, we know we have to score as early as possible. That is interesting. And I think Ajax will do that, and I think they probably should. Don't change your stripes. Go with what you are that got you here. But I thought in the first leg, Tottenham, if they had wanted to, could have shown an ability to get in behind some of the Ajax defenders. But they didn't have anybody capable of doing that because Llorente was playing up front. I suppose Lucas Moura could have, but Son specializes in that. He's back now, so if what Sissoko's saying here bears out, Son's getting a goal.
If you can get a foothold in midfield, which is where you were not able to get one, and that will require big performances from whatever midfield triangulation he goes with, that's going to be key. Yeah. Because I agree with you, Son and Lucas Moura can run the channels, can get in behind, can create problems.
Now, the other problem, obviously, is preventing Ajax from getting a goal. If they want to play their style, that means they're scoring goals.
I don't see any way back for Spurs. And after your comments about my mother, I genuinely hope that's the case.
Ajax, by the way, won the Dutch Cup over the weekend. Tied on points for the league with PSV, only two games to play, but they're ahead on goal difference. But by a sizable margin, so PSV will have to overcome that. MLS, finally, as we wind it down here, Wednesday, 7 o'clock, Atlanta United FC and Toronto FC. Good wins for both these teams away from home this past weekend.
So weird the way things are swinging now. If you look at some of the teams in MLS, it really is major league mood swings. That's what the league should be called. Like, NYCFC fans after that away win with Montreal are like, hey, who do you think our best player is now? And hey, credit to Dome for getting this thing going, where they wanted Dome out like 2 weeks ago. Same thing with, maybe not quite as enthusiastic, but certainly they're getting there with Frank.
Yeah, Joseph Martinez needed a good game, and he got one. Almost got severely hurt on his first goal with the keeper rushing out at him. They really a clattering tackle as the ball went in. Ezequiel Barco scoring a goal, that's a good sign. Young player who they would love to get going, of course. So that should be fun, Atlanta and Toronto. Wednesday, 8 o'clock, the Red Bulls and Montreal. The Red Bulls got their victory over Zlatan. Nice come-from-behind win. They were down 2-1, scored the last two. To go on and win that. Zlatan did score, so for all the fans there who were going to see him, they did get a little bit of what they wanted.
Yeah, there was major criticism of guys holding the letters to Zlatan's name and a picture, and some of the guys that were holding it were wearing Red Bulls jerseys.
Like, you lose your fan card.
You can't do that.
You lose it. Wednesday, 8 o'clock, Chicago Fire and New England Revolution. Chicago coming off a hard-fought 0-0 against LAFC. Probably not something you'll see very often this season against LAFC.
Stopping LAFC from scoring is no mean feat.
Meanwhile, not quite the same for the Revs. As they go to Philadelphia, it's 1-1 at the half. Philly goes on and scores 5 to win 6-1. You made fun of me last week when I suggested that maybe we underestimated the Philadelphia Union. Well, maybe next time you should estimate me, to quote Michael Scott.
I will continue to estimate you, except when you make comments about my mother's religious beliefs.
Thank you. I've actually hurt you.
You haven't just hurt me. You've hurt the entire world of Catholics who believe
don't do that.
Holy water.
Do not do that.
That's not true.
I'm not suggesting that there was anything wrong with the holy water. I'm just I want to know if she just, if she forgot that week and if this is like a thing that you
think
about.
My mom gets the primo stuff, okay? The good stuff.
Are there different levels of holy water? This is just my, you know what? You're right. It does sound like a bit. I'm not trying to do stand-up comedy.
Bow, bow, bow.
Hey, well, this was mostly fun, not awkward at all.
A bit tetchy.
Well, you came in here with a bad attitude, which I get, and I wasn't going to say anything. I understand that today was a hard day for you as a Liverpool fan. I get that. I was hoping that, you know, we could still like conduct ourselves as quote unquote friends, but not today. Hey, thankfully, we have another podcast on Wednesday. We'll try again on Wednesday.
As Don LaGreca says.
But you're going to be such a D on, because Tottenham are not going to come back and beat Ajax. But it's going to be painful because that Tottenham only know one way. I'm sure Spurs will come back. They'll probably score 3 goals in the first 20 minutes and then give up like 4 in the second half. And you're going to come in and be the worst to me. And you're going to cite today as the reason why that's okay. When, by and large, I thought I was very, very good.
You know me. If I find an amusing video on Twitter, I will have forgotten. That's the way I work.
But you're mad right now.
Right now. By the way, you should have seen the pass I played at the weekend.
There we go. We'll think about
unbelievable.
That.
Unbelievable. Andy Robertson-esque.
Hey, to you I say...
Take you later, fun boy.
I'll see you.
Take care.
You've been listening to the Caught Offside Soccer Podcast.